Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. It's my great delight to welcome back to our program Dr. John Wood. John has written another book, another good book called The Light Entrusted to You. And I asked John to come and join us, and he can spend the week with us just kind of breaking open key themes that are in the book. And welcome back, John.
Thanks, Peter. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say too much about, you know, this is so neat. Your bio says, Dr. John Wood is a mobile eye doctor from Northwest Ohio. Now, it's been a while since you've been on the program. Why don't you tell our friends a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so that's kind of an odd combination when I travel around. I'm a mobile eye doctor, so my regular career is an optometrist, and I do nursing home eye care. I travel to probably 40 to 50 different nursing homes in Northwest Ohio to provide eye care to the elderly and handicapped and those in disability facilities and things like that. And so I enjoy that. It's a great ministry in and of itself. And then I also get to travel around and speak about my Catholic faith, which I love as well. But most importantly, I'm a father and a husband. Have four kids, ranging in ages from 13 to 6. And so they're the loves of my life. They keep me busy with all the things they're doing in their life. It's great to see them grow. And they're the inspiration of this new book that I wrote, The Light Entrusted to You, based on those baptismal vows that we have to keep the flame of faith alive in our children. And I dedicated the book to my wife and kids. They're the inspiration for the book, and I want to share what we've discovered in our family of learning, living, and sharing our Catholic faith. We want to share that with others as well.
Yeah, and clearly you and Kristen have a tremendous partnership and mission together.
Yeah, I couldn't do anything that I do without my wife. She is the foundation of all that I do. You know, I get to travel all over the country. I meet a lot of people. You know, hear a lot of great feedback and encouragement, but nobody sees the sacrifices that my wife makes, and she is the saint, and she makes me want to be a saint. And
so you're sort of following her.
I'm trying to follow her. She's amazing.
Yeah, and along the way now, you felt called. Your story is that you felt called really passionately to teach the faith, and you've built a mission side of your life. Why don't you tell our friends about that too, so we don't forget, tell them how they can get in contact with you, because when they're done listening to you, they're going to want to get in contact with
you. Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah, the name of my nonprofit organization is Extraordinary Mission. I started Extraordinary Mission 5 or 6 years ago with the start of my first book, Ordinary Lives, Extraordinary Mission. And just recently, I've turned it into a nonprofit organization as of 2018. You know, we want to give away as many free stuff as we can. I like to give out free books for confirmation kids or, you know, parents. You know, want to relay materials. We just want to share the message the best we can and build deep roots of faith in families. You know, I really have that target audience of families and building the strong foundation from the beginning. And we thought the nonprofit would be the best way to go about doing that. And so extraordinarymission.com is my main website where you can see all of my events and products and all those kind of things. And we're just trying to, you know, build those roots of faith in families.
Yeah, and the Lord has really launched you, and he's given you a very clear vision and real content he wants you to communicate, and he wants you to build up the church. It's very exciting to see it.
So, yeah, it's exciting to be part of it and, you know, doing God's will. You know, his will be done. So yeah. I'm just trying to follow where he's leading me to go.
Well, tell us about the book, the inspiration of the new book, and what's it about?
The Light Entrusted to You, like I said, is based on the baptismal vows. So, you know, whenever a child's baptized, the church tells us, reminds us, this child is baptized into the light of Christ. And, you know, as parents, godparents, are really a parish family, that light has been entrusted to us to be kept burning brightly. And we have to keep the flame of faith alive. And so I think in many ways we've lost that goal. We've lost that mission. You look at the statistics, and there's some pretty sobering statistics in our country today about young people leaving their faith or, you know, being disengaged and those kind of things. But I think there's also research that shows us that, you know, people who no longer identify as Catholic, you know, 89% of them will say they never really had much faith to begin with. You know, they're not really leaving their faith. They've never really been given their faith. And so I wanted to share the resources that have helped me as a layperson, you know, just an eye doctor. I don't have a theology degree. You know, I share the resources that have helped me learn and fall in love with my faith in a language I can understand as an adult, and then share the resources that have helped me pass it on to the teenagers at our parish and the resources that have helped me teach it to my four small children at home. And I wanted to build kind of like a mini catechism. You know, the catechism is divided into four pillars. And I've created this book into six pillars that makes up an acronym of the word saints. And so there's six main topics, and then I share the resources for each age group that have helped us in each of those topics. And so that's kind of the inspiration of the book, and been working on it for probably 5 or 6 years to kind of build that structure and put it all together.
Yeah, it's very coherent. It makes so much sense just the way you put it together. Now, how did an introvert become such an extrovert?
God's grace and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I remember specifically praying to God probably 10 years ago, you know, God, you know, I'll do what you want me to do, but please don't make me stand up in front of people and talk. You know, I just don't feel like I can do that. But, you know, we're kind of talking about before the show, you know, in the introduction, I talk about Jeremiah, the prophet, and how he said, you know, Lord, I'm too young. I cannot speak. And then he says, you know, you duped me, Lord. And I feel like I got duped as well. You know,
yeah.
You know, I've told myself I won't speak of the Lord anymore, just like Jeremiah said. But then he said it becomes like a fire burning within your heart, and you grow weary holding it in. And I think that's kind of what happened to me. The more I learned about my faith, the more I fell in love with my faith, the more my prayer changed from don't make me talk to, Lord, please give me opportunities to share this great gift that you gave me. I want an opportunity. I can't hold it anymore. I got to share the faith with others. And God's blessed me with that over the years, gradually, you know, to build up my confidence and self-esteem to go out and share that faith.
Yeah, no, you're very good at it. And friends, here's a little lesson just listening to the program today. It's very easy for us to put limits on God when we look at ourselves and what we have and what we don't have. And so we limit what God might want to call us to. And as John was saying, his experience was that a fire began to burn in him as he was studying God's word. And he didn't think, well, this is automatically going to lead into something I don't like doing, which is public speaking. He just kept following the Lord and living in the burn, living in what God was stirring in his heart. And then he gave God permission to use him any way he wanted to. And God surprised him. And God surprised him not only in calling him to something that was difficult initially, but that he ends up being really quite good at, that he never dreamt he could be good at. And God helped him, and God did that. And it's really important for us to not put limits on what God would want to do with us, but just give him permission and keep living with him and keep learning Christ and walking ever deeper in him, and then give him permission to do whatever he wants you to do.
Yeah. You know, often God does nudge us in a direction we feel like we don't want to go, but I've never regretted listening to that little voice inside that encouraged me to do things that maybe push me and challenge me and stretch me in ways that, you know, I don't feel like I can do. But my mother, you know, she gave me the greatest piece of advice ever when I was growing up, and I think it sums up the genius of Catholicism in one sentence, and it's just, try your best, let God do the rest. And there's really two parts to that sentence. You know, we have to play our part. We have to, like Mary, we have to say, yes, let it be done to me according to thy will. We have to conform our will to his will. But the second part is also important, that we have to let God do the rest. It's nothing that you're going to do. It's not about you. It's about what God will do through you if you give him permission, if you say yes, and not, you know, like you said, not minimizing the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit, just trusting God and his grace. And, you know, that sentence kind of has helped me in every aspect of my life, whether it's sports or business or relationships or sharing the faith. Just try your best and then allow God to do the rest.
Right, because the big stuff, the deep stuff he wants you to accomplish, only he can do. He says, without me, you can do nothing, right?
That's right.
And there's a reality there. He just says, look, I just want you to come with me, son, daughter. I just want you to come because I want to do something through you.
Yes.
I want to entrust something to you. And he wants us to walk in faith. And he always chooses what's weak in the world anyway. I mean, from the apostles the whole story is about weak folks like us who God calls, and he's just saying, just trust me, and I'll lead you.
Yeah, you know? And I tell people in my audiences every night when I speak to them, you know, everybody who encounters God in the scriptures is given a mission, and none of them think they have what it takes, whether it's Jeremiah or Moses or Peter or Gideon. You know, who am I to lead an army into battle? And I'm the weakest man from the weakest tribe, Gideon said. And God said, that's precisely why I chose you, because you are the weakest man from the weakest tribe. And I'm going to prove it's not you who will bring a great victory. It is I.
Yeah.
But you have to trust me, you know.
Right,
so that's that
right.
trust.
And that walk in faith. That's faith. You spell it R-I-S-K, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not just in your head. You get out there and you start walking. Now, one of the things you really underline in the introduction of the book is your passion to help us all see and understand that the parents are the first teachers and the primary teachers of the faith. And that's really where it gets passed on. That's really where disciples get made.
Yeah, I'm kind of convinced of that, you know, that St. John Paul II told us, as the family goes, culture goes, society goes, and you look at the news every day and you see all the tragedies and you see all the evil in the world, that begins because of the destruction of the family unit. And parents have to realize they are the primary educators of the faith. And I speak to a lot of people and they want me to speak to their teenagers, you know, you got to speak to my kids. You got to be, you know, I tell them, you know, I can try to inspire them, but in 45 minutes, there's only so much I can do.
Right.
Whereas the parents, repetition is powerful. Kids thrive on relationship. You know, they need to encounter God every day through prayer, through the sacraments, through learning the scriptures, and that begins in the home. And, you know, you don't have to know everything before you teach anything. I tell parents, we're learning the faith with them. Our kids can help us just as much as we help them. We can't be intimidated about sharing the faith and learning it together with them. And it has to start in the home. The parents have to be that foundation of faith mm-hmm. because, you know, we're supposed to be imaging God's love to our kids. We're supposed to, it's not about rules and regulations. It's about relationship. And those relationships begin in the home with mom and dad growing up and from day one, soaking them in the faith, because when they're little, that's when they're open to the mystery and the miraculous of God and his love for us. And so we have to soak them in that from the beginning.
Yeah. Now, the rest of this week, we're going to really open up the key themes from the book and help folks kind of see the foundations that you laid really in your own home and your own approach to the whole thing, which can really help. But I wanted to ask you a question. You know, if there's men who are listening today to the program, I think a lot of guys feel like fish out of water when it comes to communicating the faith. I feel like, I don't know that much about it. There's just so much there. I don't get a lot of the language. I don't understand it. And I feel like they maybe wouldn't use the term, but insecure mm-hmm. in my own home to try to pass on the faith to my kids, especially as they get a little bit older when they don't necessarily want to listen very much. You know, yeah. And so they back away from the challenge. What would you say to them?
Men, you know, men are a primary target. And I you know, as a man myself, you know, I'm hard on the men because I am a man.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, you want to destroy the family, destroy the father. And so, you know, the next book I'm working on is geared specifically toward men and fathers that, you know, we have a really important role here. And I think, you know, number one reason for crime in this country, fatherless children. Number one reason for poverty in this country, fatherless children. And I'll propose the number one reason why Dynamic Catholics Research finds 85% of our confirmation kids are leaving their faith within 10 years. I think the number one reason, spiritually fatherless children. We're not stepping up to the plate. And we have to have that confidence. You know, it's not about, again, how much you know. It's about living an authentic life, introducing God the Father to your kids, first and foremost, praying for them, praying with them, learning with them, and just seeing that, you know, your kids know that, you know, you bow to someone greater, that God is your father, that, you know, you can be that image for them. And so I really want to encourage, challenge, and encourage, you know, and I try to do two things. I want to give you the halftime speech. We're
right.
losing, and we need to step it up a notch.
Yeah, right.
But I encourage you that we have the resources, we have the courage, we have the grace to do that, and fathers can do that by being spiritual leaders in their home.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point. It's not about perfecting a body of knowledge that you got to get in your head and then you download it. It's you are first a disciple, Dad, and you are learning and following Christ. That's your life, right? And he's leading you to become a saint, and you're leading your children. And what you're doing is you're living with Christ yourself. And as you draw closer to him each day, and you understand that about your life, and you're seeking him first, imperfectly, the rest of it, but he becomes your passion, and you're living for him each day, he will show you how to unfold. He'll show you steps to take. It's not that complicated. It's just hard because we feel insecure, or we're proud, or we don't know what to do. But the bottom line is, humble ourselves and go after the King with all your heart and give him permission and say, Lord, I need help. And do that as a couple. Husband and wife say, we need help. We haven't been that great at this. We want to do better at it. And if you get on your knees and beg the Lord each day together, he will show you. So, friends, we're going to, man, this went by so fast
yeah.
today, John. Yeah. Tune in again tomorrow. We're going to start breaking open John's wonderful book called The Light Entrusted to You. Thanks for being here, John.
Yep, thanks, Peter.
God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.